This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 1 in 7 Texans struggle to put food on the table. 41 million Americans, including almost 13 million children, were food insecure in 2016. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says a household suffers from food insecurity when it's uncertain of having or unable to acquire enough food to meet the needs of all their members due to insufficient resources. Nationwide, rates of food insecurity have decreased marginally since the Great Recession. In Texas, the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey displaced over 1 million people, causing a greater strain to feed those affected. How can our community help prevent and deal with hunger in San Antonio? It's a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this afternoon by Eric Cooper, the president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank. Jeremy Everett is the senior director of the Texas Hunger Initiative, and Joel Berg, the CEO of Hunger Free America and the former senior official for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's great to have you here. Welcome to The Source, all of
you. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joel Berg, let me ask you about Hunger Free America and what we're seeing across the United States. We have some new numbers that have been released.
Yes, nationwide, 41 million Americans, that's a population greater than the entire population of California and Maine combined, live in homes that can't afford enough food. And before the recession, it was about 36 million people. So there are 5 million people more struggling against hunger in America today than before the start of a recession. And sometimes we're told, oh, just accept this as the new normal. But we're the only industrialized Western nation on the planet that has this level of poverty and hunger, even per capita. So it shows you how much is really wrong with our society today.
So, I mean, we're seeing an economic recovery of sorts. Unemployment in San Antonio is 3.7%. Texas, it's 4.2%. It's the lowest that it's been since 2007. When you hit unemployment below 5%, it's considered full employment. What's happening here? How can we have unemployment figures so low that what we're still seeing hunger levels so high? Eric Cooper, president and the CEO of the Food Bank, San Antonio.
Yeah, I think of the client that the food bank serves, and it's typically a single head of household, female, and she's got a couple of kids, and she's working full-time and then some. And so as the economy strengthened, it's created some opportunities for employment, but the opportunity to get into meaningful living wages is where there's significant barriers in those families becoming food secure. She can't afford childcare. She can't afford getting kids ready for school. She can't afford those utility bills or when the car breaks down, and putting food on the table for the hourly wage she makes. And she's out of poverty, but still under resource to be able to meet those basic needs.
So work doesn't work.
Well, it's about sustainable, meaningful employment, right? I think that's the goal for all of us, to be able to have the resources we need to put the right food and the right amounts on our table. And I think for so many families that we see at the food bank, whether it is that single working mom or a senior that's living on Social Security that just is not enough to pay for health care and put food on the table, and that's where there's a hunger problem.
And Jeremy Everett at the Texas Hunger Initiative, what's it look like statewide? What's the view?
Well, I agree with Eric. I think we talk about it as economic insecurity. And families are unfortunately are forced to make trade-offs. And though while we do have a good job, we've done a good job of ensuring employment in Texas, what we haven't done a good job of is ensuring, you know, strong employment, as Eric was suggesting, in the sense that we have the highest amount of minimum wage paying jobs in the country in Texas. And so certainly people are having to make trade-offs, meaning that they have to determine what they're going to use their money to pay for. Are they going to pay for the light bill to be kept on? Are they going to pay rent? Are they going to pay for their car payment? Or if they need any kind of, medication for their family members, are they going to pay for that? Or are they going to pay for food? And so what we see often as families are forced to make trade-offs. And typically food is the thing that is the easiest thing to trade off because you don't get evicted if you don't buy food. And so we often see adult members of households choosing to go without in order to make sure that their children might have something to eat on a daily basis. But it's a I think what we can also see from the numbers that though we're improving, we've got a long way to go.
But also, Jemery Everett at the Texas Hunger Initiative, you're able to see what's happening on the Gulf Coast, where communities have been dealt a serious blow, and families who, they stocked up for food and then they lost power for a week and all that food in their fridge is gone, or maybe everything that they had in their cupboards was also wiped out in the flooding. And these are people struggling to get back on their feet. So how does an infrastructure of compassion like we have with food banks in your organization, how do they step in?
Well, a couple of ways. One, it's working with school districts to make sure that the school districts are ensuring access to 3 healthy meals a day, 5 days a week for the kids that are in school as they return to school. That'll be a huge burden that will be lifted off of families when they return. It's also making sure that we have all the organizations that are working to address this issue working collaboratively. As you know, because the need is so great, we have to ensure that we're avoiding duplication by communicating with each other and identifying who is going to take lead in a given community, and then other organizations working to support them as they take need. But it's really going to be, after we have this initial push of compassionate response by volunteers, people end up having to go back to work. And when they go back to work, there's a lot that's been undone that's going to have to be improved around the Gulf Coast. And so how do we get communities back infrastructurally so that they're able to become self-sufficient again is it's going to take all of us working together collaboratively. And it's going to take, one thing that we're going to have to do is certainly the federal government, but also state government is going to have to step up to ensure that families have access to food and programs like the DSNAP program or Disaster Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. That program exists particularly for families that are in high-need situations like they currently are. And so making sure that we have readily access to those kinds of programs.
The DSNAP program, the Disaster SNAP program, this provides immediate relief to people who have taken it on the chin from Harvey and other disasters. And we'll talk more about how that program works when we come back from this break. We're talking about hunger in Texas and San Antonio, food insecurity across America. New data is out. We're trying to see what is the issue with this record low unemployment, 3.7% here in San Antonio? Does that number really tell the story? Because there are still many, many people showing up at the food bank looking for resources. Why is that? We ask you to call in if you got a question or comment. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What is your experience with food insecurity? What do you see around you? Give us a call. We'd like to hear your story. The Source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 1 in 7 Texans struggle with food insecurity, according to recent data. Who are these people? Why are they in this situation? Many of these people work. They work full-time jobs, but still the checks don't cover their needs. And at the end of the week, they're looking at an empty refrigerator and cupboard, and they go to our infrastructure of compassion, places like the San Antonio Food Bank, trying to make sure that the little ones don't go hungry. If you've got a question or comment about where we are with food insecurity in San Antonio, in Texas, in the nation, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. When we went to break, we were talking about DSNAP. That is the disaster program that helps people who have been devastated by things like Hurricane Harvey and Irma and who knows what else is coming our way. We got Maria churning in the Gulf too. So let me ask you about that, Joel Berg. You're the CEO of Hunger Free America. How does that work?
Well, there are a few things the state with funding from the federal government does to help disaster victims. One thing the state and the federal government already has done is basically say existing SNAP recipients, what many people still refer to as well as food stamp program SNAP recipients, if they had benefits, they got some extra money put on their card to compensate for money lost in the storm. Secondly, generally you can't use SNAP benefits for hot food, and in Texas that has been waived in the short term, so you can use it for hot food. It's stores that normally accept SNAP. But the DSNAP program actually allows people to get SNAP benefits, food benefits, if they weren't previously on the program, if they may have lost their job because of the storm, if they may have reduced income because of the storm. And you can find out that through the state of Texas's website, or you can call the National Hunger Hotline, which my organization, Hunger Free America, runs on behalf of USDA. And you can call 1-866-3-HUNGRY. That's 1-866-3-HUNGRY. And we'll refer you to the Texas agencies that can determine whether you're eligible.
It typically, it takes time to qualify for SNAP, and you have to go apply, and you have to be approved, and it's not a SNAP decision. Jeremy Everett at the Texas Hunger Initiative, all this bureaucracy, does that get sped up, expedited?
It can, but we just saw a report today that said that HHSC was potentially suspending additional DSNAP resources just because they're already being overwhelmed with applications. So I think increasing infrastructural support is an important part of the role of state government during these disasters. Of course, they're doing it on the ground in magnificent ways, and we've got a lot of folks that have been putting in a lot of hours to try to right the ship in Houston and around the Gulf Coast. And so we're certainly grateful for the time and effort that they put in. But increasing the back office support to be able to process these applications is of critical importance.
Let's go to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980 if you want to call in. And Candy is on the line. Hi, Candy. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yes, my comment is I have a friend who's a senior citizen, and she had a devastating head injury at work about 3 years ago, and she cannot work since that the head injury was devastating. She was on disability and Social Security, and she turned 65 this summer. She's lost her disability, and she can't make it. She can't pay her bills. She goes to the food bank for food, but as far as everything else, she cannot pay her bills. She's a person who works since she is 15. She has a master's degree. She's worked hard all her life, but now she's in a position where she cannot work. She's on this very low income since she lost her disability, and they told her, no, now that you've turned 65, you don't need it anymore. You're officially retired. But what she's getting is not enough.
All right, Candy, thank you for that. Appreciate you telling us that story. Joel Berg, hunger is just part of the picture.
It is, because we've allowed it to be part of the picture. America almost entirely ended hunger in the 1970s because we had a more robust middle class, had more unionized jobs with higher wages and lifetime benefits, and we had a more robust safety net. To me, it's really uncivilized that we allow the senior citizens who built this country, who built our cities and towns, who fought our wars, who raised our children, to actually have to suffer from disabilities and then not be able to feed their own selves in their twilight years where they should be relaxing and enjoying. We have more money than we need by far to be able to solve this problem. This is the richest country in the history of the world. It's all about priorities. Now, I know with a bunch of Texans on the line and listening, I shouldn't say that if we have enough money for a separate stadium for baseball and a separate stadium for football and a separate stadium for soccer, we have enough money to make sure disabled seniors eat. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
Right, but Candy's story is just about not just about food, but it's also keeping a roof over your head, having power, you know, to make sure that you don't overheat, and all these other issues that we deal with. I mean, we can go to the food bank, and the food bank's doing a great job, but there's a whole lot of needs that are hurting the most vulnerable.
Yes, and every other industrialized Western nation on the planet not only takes care of food better, but takes care of housing better, takes care of people with disabilities better, takes care of senior citizens better. It's a failure of our society from top down.
Eric Cooper, at the CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank, people have been hearing all these stories about Harvey, and you guys have been scrambling to make sure that the people who are dealing with Harvey are not going hungry, and you're rising to that occasion. But are other people wondering, that mean I can't go to the food bank to get my box of food?
Yeah, thank you, David. I think it's really important that that if you're a listener and you know someone in need, or if you're a person in need, that you reach out, that there's help there. You can call the food bank directly at 431-TEAM. That's T-E-A-M, 431-TEAM. We've got a call center. Folks there can really start to drive resources your way. And I appreciate Candy sharing the story of her friend. We have about 16,000 seniors here in San Antonio that receive a monthly food box. And so Candy's friend's story can be replicated 16,000 times. When I think of these seniors that in their twilight years are experiencing a health crisis that then impacts so many other things, and as you said, David, threaten the roof over their heads. And so we take a pretty comprehensive approach at the San Antonio Food Bank. It's not just about food, but it's connectivity to the federal programs that are the safety net, so SNAP and DSNAP for those affected by the disaster. But if people are lacking health insurance, Medicaid, or if they need health care for their children, the Children's Health Insurance Program, there are some small stipends through the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF funds. But utility assistance and other programs exist, and so we want to make sure that we wrap those comprehensive programs around seniors like Candy's friend to try to stabilize that household, to see if then we can move them to a place of stability. Oftentimes, stability comes through meaningful employment, but when that's not an option for someone, that's where the real crisis is. That's where the real challenge is. And I think of the Gulf Coast, for so many, I was in Victoria and Corpus yesterday, and for so many of those individuals and families affected by Hurricane Harvey, their employer was destroyed. They don't have a place to go to work now. And so work is a big part of the recovery. And when you don't have a place to go to work, things become very, very desperate.
Like Port Aransas, they took it on the chin, a lot of destruction there. They have a tourism economy. People are wondering if there's a tourism, if it'll remain that way. They got to rebuild that. It doesn't come back immediately. So what do people do in the meantime?
Well, I think we can be compassionate, and we can be, ideal tourists by going to those communities as quickly as we can, not just from an aid standpoint, but from helping them revitalize their communities. And so I think sometimes when a disaster hits, the tourism stops and people think, we don't want to go there. They were just hit by the storm. But in a lot of ways, it's when they need those dollars the most. And so hopefully together as a state, we can bring those tourism amenities back as quickly as possible so that those tourism dollars aren't lost in those communities where it can really become critical.
All right, let's go to Joey. He's on the phone. And Joey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon. I'm permanently disabled, and I get $19 a month food stamps. And I tell people if I had a cat, I could probably feed the cat. But $19 a month? That'd last about maybe at the most 2 days.
Okay. All right, Joey, thank you. So that seems oddly really small amount of food there. Eric Cooper, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, Joey, that oftentimes for a senior participating in SNAP, the benefits are too low. And so please reach out to us at the food bank. There might be some deductions that we can apply for pending your situation and case that might get your entitlement up. But by far, the SNAP dollars are inadequate. I mean, it's a supplemental nutrition assistance program, which means that it's not meeting the full diet of those in need. And I oftentimes think that, you know, if you went to a physician because of a sickness and the physician wrote you a script for a 30-day, you know, supply, but you went to the pharmacy and you only got, you know, 20 days, will you be healed? You know, families aren't nourished if they're not given adequate support. And unfortunately for many that receive SNAP, those dollars run out way too soon in the month, and $19 surely doesn't go very far.
Jeremy Everett, Texas director of the Texas Hunger Initiative. You know, giving someone $19 a month as a SNAP benefit, you kind of wonder, what's that about? I mean, why even do it at all? I mean, it seems so little.
Yeah, we hear that often. And one thing I do want, Eric's right, that our senior adults do not receive adequate benefits to really be able to put enough food on the table on a monthly basis. The whole SNAP program is built on a thrifty food plan model instead of a low food plan model or low cost food plan model, which could greatly increase the amount of resources for a family that are trying to feed themselves and need more than just a little bit of supplemental support. To be honest, now most seniors on average do receive over $100 a month on the SNAP program, so we want to make sure that seniors don't feel dissuaded to not explore whether or not they would be eligible for the program. One thing that we do in some of our work in Dallas is we have nutritionists who develop cooking plans for senior adults who are cooking on a SNAP budget. And so what oftentimes, like the $19 a month that Joey was referring to, you know, that might be able to cover some of your fruits and vegetables that maybe you wouldn't be able to buy otherwise. I met with one elderly woman, and she said that she saves her SNAP money up so that she can make one big, nice Thanksgiving meal for her family on an annual basis. So there are ways that the resources can become creative, even though we certainly wish we wish people were resourced more adequately.
But frequently people are dealing with transportation issues as well.
Yes.
They're not able to go down to the produce market on Laredo Street and be able to buy a lot of good produce for a cheap price. Instead, they're stuck going to the corner store, which there's quite a bit of markup there because they're taking advantage of people's inability to get around.
Yeah, I tell you what, senior hunger is one of the it's one of the biggest problems because of our senior population growing like it is. It's one of the biggest problems that we have in America. To me, you know, Gandhi was quoted as saying that poverty is the harshest form of violence, and I think hunger is probably the harshest form of poverty. And when you think about how vulnerable our senior population is, for them to be without is incredibly troubling.
All right, so it's our both ends of the spectrums. We've got the very young and the very old
feeling
the full brunt of hunger in America. We'll talk about that more when we come back from the break. Also, what's the future of the SNAP program? There's talk in Washington, D.C. about making deep cuts to that. We'll talk about that as well. This is The Source. The number to call in if you've got a question or comment is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'll be back after this quick break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about hunger in San Antonio, hunger in America, and it's a mixed message as we mixed report here. The number of people facing hunger in the U.S. declined last year to the lowest since 2007 as unemployment fell and some states strengthened child nutrition programs, but still hunger is a big need here locally, and we're talking about that. We want to hear from our community. What are you seeing out there? The numbers 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Teresa is on the line. And Teresa, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, I wanted to say that there is a bill that is in front of the Congress waiting for them to approve it, where it will give seniors $800 a year more spread out over the year on their Social Security check. The National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare are lobby for it, and the Alliance for Retired Americans lobby for it, and we are almost demanding for the Congress to approve it now because they can vote on it at this time.
Teresa, thank you so much for that. And Joel Berg, the CEO of Hunger Free America, are you familiar with that?
I am not. It sounds like something that would help reduce senior hunger. You know, there are some people whose job it is to get paid by certain interests to pretend that we don't know how these problems can be solved. We've been having hunger programs and anti-poverty programs for 100 years now in America, and many of them have worked, and we know exactly what works. And it shouldn't shock people that giving people more money to buy food will reduce hunger.
So the U.S. Census Bureau released figures last week showing that incomes are rising in Texas and there's an overall decline in poverty in the state. The Census Bureau found that Texas ranks 38th in poverty in the U.S. with 15.6% living below the poverty line. The national rate is 12.7%. The poverty line is defined as making $12,228 per year for an individual, $24,339 for a family of four. So, Eric Cooper, the president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank, I mean, what do you make of that information?
Yeah, so I mean, you just have to think about it. As a single individual, if you made $13,000 in a 12-month period, then you're out of poverty. And I think most of us would say, wow, if I made $13,000 over a 12-month period, I know hunger. Right? I might know homelessness. I'm going to really struggle. And for us, the opportunity is how do we move individuals to higher paying jobs and what are the programs that need to be in place when those gaps exist? And I think the SNAP program is the largest safety net against hunger and needs to be fortified rather than taken away from. You know, for us at the food bank, we'd love to see a NAP program. Take supplemental off the table. Make it about a nutrition assistance program. We believe we can make up grounds in healthcare that could overwhelmingly pay for that increase of nutrition support. You know, the adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, is true. The fact that people lack the dollars to get the right nutrition drives up our local high rates of diabetes, heart disease, hypertension. Hunger is a health crisis, and if we're going to get ahead of our healthcare costs, we've got to invest upstream in making sure those that are most vulnerable get proper nutrition on a regular basis.
Joel Berg at Hunger Free America, what is happening in Congress as they're looking at the farm bill, which would include dealing with SNAP?
Well, President Trump has proposed $192 billion in cuts. That's a billion with a B. Speaker Ryan has previously supported billions of dollars in cuts, and while the House budget proposal is still vague, it could mean billions or even tens of billions of dollars of cuts. Hopefully the Senate will be a backstop against this ludicrousness. The average SNAP benefit is now $1.40 per meal. We heard how some seniors are getting at $19 a month. The program needs to be expanded. It's not only good for reducing hunger, it's not only critical for aiding education and workforce development because nutrition is key to success. It will save our country a lot of money because every dollar on SNAP spent on SNAP creates $1.8 of economic growth in America. So we will fight tooth and nail against these cuts. I've got to put out a plug for my new book, America, We Need to Talk, a self-help book for the nation, which has concrete tools for how citizens can fight back, but we can't allow these massive cuts to go through. They're larger than what Ronald Reagan proposed, and if enacted at the full scale, really would bring back large Depression-era type hunger in America.
Jeremy Everett, Senior Director for the Texas Hunger Initiative. What would that look like in Texas if we saw a 20% cut to SNAP benefits?
Well, I mean, we don't even have enough right now in terms of resources to be able to adequately supply families with meals on a daily basis. So, I mean, that would be catastrophic for families across the state. I mean, basically, we're all familiar with the idea of, you know, maybe a family has a black sheep that carries all the burdens of a given family. Well, basically, people who are economically disadvantaged or certainly living in high rates of poverty are carrying they're essentially being scapegoated, and all the country's ills seem to be falling on them. I mean, so not only are those families not going to be able to put food on the table, housing assistance is looking at being cut. So where are they going to live? Public education just continues to dwindle in terms of resources and allocation. So our children are oftentimes in these underprivileged communities are not only not having access to food today, they're in high schools that aren't, you know, graduating half of their class. And so you're looking at a lot of poverty that we're creating for tomorrow. So there's just no way that we would have the infrastructure as a state to be able to pick up a 20% cut. It would be catastrophic.
So you mentioned the children, and so when I said that there was a 15.6% below the poverty line in Texas, for children that number is 22.5%. So the child poverty rate, 22.5%, one in five children. So that's they're really the ones who are feeling it. Eric Cooper, President and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank, with this new law that went into effect about schools being able to become food banks, how is that working?
Yeah, so David, I think just and piggybacking on your other question is one way to visualize is that if the food banks and all of the charitable food in the United States was kind of put into one massive warehouse, right, that you had one large food bank with all of the charitable food that gets to the hungry, what the federal government puts on the table is 19 huge warehouses. So we're one out of 20. So when you talk about that 20% cut, right, then we would have to increase our distribution five times to try to make up that. We've been expanded because of our response to Hurricane Harvey and Irma, but a cut to SNAP of that magnitude would be much larger and more devastating than those hurricanes. And so we've got to make sure that we meet people's basic needs. When it comes to the kids and making sure that they're nourished, schools have the ability through the National School Lunch, School Breakfast Program, and after-school snacks to really play a critical role in giving low-income children access to food. And the new bill that Representative Diego Bernal passed really gives some flexibility of those schools when there is margin in their food supply, when there's opportunities to rescue food. Let's say one child doesn't want to eat an item because they don't like it, that food, rather than going to waste, can be enabled to a child that would eat it or might have a need on the weekends. And so we're excited about this. We're excited about just the flexibility working within, you know, regulation, but really making the program optimized through cutting through some of that red tape.
And there, I got an email from Nikki. She says there are several college campuses in San Antonio working to meet the needs of food insecurity with their students there. So there's a lot of people in the community. You think you can afford college, but you can't always afford food. And are you seeing that also, Eric?
Yeah, big explosion. I think sometimes people oftentimes associate college and hunger to, hey, we all were there once. We all tightened our belt. That was the top ramen era or the macaroni and cheese era. But we graduated and moved on. Our diets improved after college. But for a lot of today's college students, that's a harsh, harsh reality. And they lack even the top ramen. Our fastest growing segment of partner agencies are our colleges and universities. Texas A&M, UTSA, the Alamo Colleges are all seeing that they've got a student population that struggles to nourish themselves while they're in class, that high rates of kids drop out of college trying just to then get to work to cover those basic needs. So if they're going to be successful in their collegiate pursuit, they have to be nourished at the same time. And so we're going to do what we can, but these federal safety nets that enable those students access to SNAP and other programs are going to be critical if they're going to succeed in their education.
Okay, all right, we're going to take another break. All these callers we have on the line, hold on. We'll get to you after we come back from this break. We're continuing our conversation about hunger in America. We're seeing a lot of needs out there. Questions about cutting to the federal program of SNAP. What would that mean for you or your family? We'd like to hear your story. The number is 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Back after this quick break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 1.62 million of Texans and 7.2 million children live below the official federal poverty line. These are people who are going hungry consistently. We have outfits out there like the San Antonio Food Bank and other people who are putting together private food banks, pantries, trying to be an answer for them. But is that really the answer? Why do we have people working very hard, but still not able to keep food on the table? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Charles is on the line. And Charles, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to make the point that only between my wife and I do we make anything approaching a decent living. And what with, costs of living, we can afford to eat fine. We just can't afford to eat healthily. It seems counterintuitive that the super processed foods are so much cheaper than fresh food. And, I guess I'll just take the response offline. Thank you very much.
All right, Charles, thank you for the call. So, Eric Cooper, there is this thing that people call the food stamps diet and the SNAP diet that you're able to load up on these high caloric products. Packaged, but you're not able to afford quality food. I mean, is that a thing?
Yeah, so that coping strategy of trying to stretch your dollar, unfortunately, unhealthy foods tend to be less expensive and taste really good. And so shaping the diet for that value customer, and as the caller mentioned, unfortunately, some of the healthier foods cost more money. And so for the charitable sector, we've been really committed to try to make up the difference in some of those ingredients. And so now at the San Antonio Food Bank, 40% of what we distribute is produce. And in cooperation with our state association, Feeding Texas, and help with from Jeremy at the Texas Hunger Initiative, Texas passed some legislation that will actually invoke some strategy to recover produce from Texas farmers and help put that produce on the plate for those in need. And I think that's a big win for nourishment. I think it's a big win for trying to get the right foods in the right amounts. But that struggle of really trying to educate people around what to eat and know where to shop. You hit on transportation earlier, and that's such a key aspect. If you can, shop at a traditional grocery store or maybe the produce terminal, you can really start to get some values combined with then the knowledge of how to prepare those recipes to integrate more produce into the American diet. I think will go a long way in nourishing our community.
Joel Berg, there's been some talk nationally about putting restrictions on people who get food stamps and what kind of products they can buy. I'd be curious about what you say about that.
I say that's the wrong solution to the wrong problem. At Hunger Free America, we have a project in New York City, our hometown, where we subsidize fresh fruits and vegetables from regional farmers, and we have a waiting list. The problem isn't that low-income people don't know what's good for them. The problem is it often doesn't exist in low-income neighborhoods, and often, if it does exist, they just can't afford it. So rather than micromanaging the lives of poor people through through big government intrusion. We should just be giving low-income people through higher wages, more jobs, and more adequate safety net the ability to find healthier food. And I do find it interesting that some on the right who say that when it comes to big business people who might pollute or pay subminimum wages illegally, we should get government off their back. But when it comes to low-income people, we should put government on their back, their front, their tops, and their bottoms. I'm against big government intrusion in low-income people's lives. Let's give them the tools to buy healthier food.
All right, here's another caller. This is Lorena. Lorena, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I'm an avid listener, and this is a really important topic. I am going on my 70th birthday. I raised five children. I have a whole bunch of grandchildren. I've been a gardener since I was 8 years old because my mother's older sister who lived with us was looking for something to keep us busy in the summer, and we had a little plot in our backyard. I have not heard the issue of backyard gardens and community gardens addressed, and this is something that doesn't address all of the issues of food insecurity, but it helps on a small basis to provide healthy and nutritious food, especially in food desert areas. You can raise vegetables like tomatoes, green beans, peppers, cucumbers in the spring and the summer. We have two growing seasons here. And in the winter, I grow all the good salad greens. And you don't have to have a plot of ground. You can grow them in a pot or an earth box, which is what I use because my backyard is shady now. And like I said, it doesn't really address the issue totally, but it helps, and it can be very inexpensive. And people like me who go crazy over all the seed catalogs and buy all the seeds, but we only need a little bit, are willing to share what we've got and actually help people to learn how to grow vegetables and even some fruits in community gardens. We just need a central organizing area, somebody okay. to coordinate this for people like me who are willing to share, just don't know where to go.
Lorena, thank you so much for that call. I appreciate that. Gardening, you can buy gardening supplies with your SNAP benefits.
That's right, David. So, Lorena, you're beautiful, and thank you for those comments about your backyard garden. And, you know, we're big advocates for that at the San Antonio Food Bank.
And now it's time to plant for your fall garden.
You need to get out there, right? You better have been working some soil. But on site at the food bank, we have 25 acres and then an additional 50 acres out at Mission San Juan. We have classes in and around teaching families about backyard gardening, square foot gardening. The role of agriculture is critical, I think, for our food supply and for all of us, and can be a great supplemental support to a household and as part of those trade-offs. David, as you said, the SNAP dollars allow for some purchasing of herbs and plants and
seeds
so that
seeds can be expensive.
They can be, and I was going to offer too. We do have a seed bank at the food bank, so if families are needing seeds or if you'd like to donate seeds, you can do that. But it sounds like we've got a volunteer listener there that we need to get over to the food bank, and we could learn from you and help you have you teach some of our classes. There is such power in gardening. You know, the concept of reaping what you sow and sowing what you reap. There's a lot of great produce that we can grow locally. There's some economics around it. We run some farmers markets, and those farmers markets also take SNAP. So Joel mentioned double up bucks or strategies that can incentivize SNAP usage in and around the access of produce at farmers markets and at retailers. But we all need to be growing and eating healthier.
And so Jeremy Everett at the Texas Hunger Initiative, do you see gardening as what kind of role does it play in helping people fight off the wolf?
It can play a couple of roles. Certainly, one of the great things that's been happening in San Antonio with the work that the food bank has done in partnership with San Antonio's Food Policy Council is you've done a good job of identifying public places that can be transformed for community gardens, and the city's put a lot of water infrastructure in those places to be able to support community gardening initiatives across the city. Plus, because you do have vibrant farmers markets, the gardening can play two real important roles for families. One, obviously, it increases the access of healthy food in their daily diet, but it can also become a nice little supplemental resource to be able to sell either to local businesses, especially since local restaurants are beginning to want to provide more locally sourced food, but also selling it through the farmers market. There's a great individual that's worked closely with the San Antonio Food Bank. He's the pastor of San Antonio's Mennonite congregation, John Garland, who has done a lot of work in this particular space and would be a great resource to individuals who are interested in getting into gardening as a additional resource for supplemental income for their families.
And finally, Joel Berg, what do you think about it?
Well, I think gardening can be a huge help. When I worked at USDA, I was the chief federal official in charge of community gardening. Hunger Free America promotes community gardening. Not only can it help feed people, it can reduce crime in tough neighborhoods. That being said, I stress that even in Texas, which has closer to a year-long growing season in much of the state, it can only produce a small percentage of the food people need. So it's got to be part of a much broader, comprehensive anti-hunger and anti-poverty strategy that still falls on the basics of creating more jobs, ensuring they pay a living wage, and ensuring an adequate safety net.
So, Joel, you see the minimum wage issue, is that really what's holding us back?
That's one of the issues, but in too many places, jobs don't exist. The unemployment overall is very, not really descriptive, because a lot of people stop looking for work because jobs don't exist in their neighborhoods. We need a national job creation program with living wage jobs and separate programs, since half the people receiving SNAP are children, lots of people are senior citizens. We need a more comprehensive cradle-to-grave safety net and a serious living wage jobs program, and then we'd end hunger.
All right. Joel Berg is the CEO of Hunger Free America, former senior official for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We're also joined by Jeremy Everett, the senior director for the Texas Hunger Initiative. And with us in the studio, Eric Cooper, president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank. Great to have all of you here this afternoon. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.